Input, output, what goes in is what comes out. Input, output, that is what it's all about. Input, output, daily you must choose. Let the Bible be your primary feed. It's got all the data you need. Talk to Jesus all the time. That's the way that you stay online. Input, output, what goes in is what comes out. Input, output, that is what it's all about. Input, output, your mind is a computer whose input, output, daily you must choose. If your printout leads to lie or cheat, there's some data you should delete. Debug your mind of sinful bites, then you will operate all right. Input, output, what goes in is what comes out. Input, output, that is what it's all about. Input, output, whose input, output, daily you must choose. Go down. Over.
Input and output, that's what it's all about. I think that's true. Yeah. Let us turn for just a little while to the Psalms. And let's go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and skip down to verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah, and Selah simply means to think on these things. And so for a little while, I want to speak on God's benefits. And there are a number of things. We will see a couple of three things that are said about these benefits. The first one is here in Psalm 68, verse 19. He daily loadeth us with benefits. It's also important to understand a little bit about the word benefit. It means treatment or an act of actually good or ill, but it speaks of an action such as service. It speaks especially of that which he hath given, that which the Lord has given. It tells us of a recompense or a reward. And so all of these things are considered in God's benefits unto us. Well, as we read here in Psalm 68, in this 19th verse, who daily loadeth us with benefits. And that really is true, because God constantly has his eyes upon us. He constantly knows our needs, even beyond what we know all about. And so he is faithful to do that. Well, he loads us. And that's a good word for it. He loads us with these benefits. And then, as he is called here, even the God of our salvation, the God of our deliverance. And we have seen so many times the various deliverances that we need in our lives. Sometimes we are delivered from something. There are other times that we are delivered to something. But God, of course, is responsible for all of that, being, once again, the God of our salvation. Let's turn now to Psalm 103. We want to see something else about these benefits that God has given unto us. Psalm 103. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this one. Forget not all his benefits. And I want to emphasize here that this is not just a matter of words that David is using. When he says, forget not all his benefits, he really begins to list those benefits that have been given. And we can really identify with them because they are things that we can certainly recognize in our own experience. I'm not going to number these. You can if you want to. But we're just going to comment on these, all of these benefits, because again, I say that David is not just speaking of this in such a general terms and just, well, benefits and that's it. He actually does enumerate them. That begins in verse 3. He forgives all thine iniquities. What a benefit that is unto us when God doesn't hold those things against us. We know why. Is because that Jesus has already paid for them. He has already taken them to the cross. He has already taken them down into the grave with himself. So he forgives all thine iniquities. The next one, he heals all thy diseases. And there are just multitudes of diseases, physical diseases, but there are other things that plague us in our lives today. Well, one of the great benefits is that the Lord heals all of those. This is a tremendous benefit and advantage that has been given unto us. Notice further, who redeems thy life from destruction. And we really do understand and we know it that if Satan had the opportunity, he absolutely would destroy our lives today. Anything that God has done, Satan will try to destroy. He is out for exactly that reason. But this is God's benefit. He redeems thy life from destruction. Next one, he crowns thee with loving kindness. That is, he pours out his loving kindness upon us. Further, his tender mercies. This is more of the benefit that we get from this God who, as David says, forget not all these benefits. Verse 5 is another. He satisfies your mouth with good things. You wonder if anyone in our world today without the Lord is satisfied. Because that's the only place that satisfaction really comes from is when God gets it. Well, he satisfies your mouth with good things. Your mouth simply means those things that you take into your own being. And so he satisfies our mouth. That's a great benefit, satisfying your mouth with good things. But this one is especially interesting because there is a direct result. You will find that in Scripture that one thing leads to another. There is a benefit attached when one thing is true, and this is one of them. He satisfies your mouth with good things, but notice the result of that. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And this is something that God simply does in our lives to renew our strength and to give us that which is, as we find here, enjoyed in even in our youth. Verse 6 is another. The Lord executes righteousness. And this is absolutely true. God cannot execute unrighteousness, but he executes righteousness. And then judgment. Now, this word judgment, we have seen this quite a number of times, and it is so important to realize the meaning of this word. Because so often in our world, people think of judgment as God bringing the hammer down and just punishing someone unmercifully. But that's not what the word judgment means. It simply means a decision. And so this is God's decision. He makes decisions concerning our lives, and he does that day after day after day. That is a tremendous benefit to us. And so the Lord executes righteousness. He executes judgment or a decision. And this time for all that are oppressed. the enemy is certainly going to oppress us, and he does that over and over and over again. But God's decision in that is marvelous, and he brings us out on top. Verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Why is that important? Because we can follow the same pattern in our own lives. Study the lives of these men and what God did for them and through them, accomplishing many different things. Well, God hasn't changed. Those people in the Old Testament are no higher on a higher plane than what we are. There was a time when I thought they had something special, that they were surely up here way plain that I couldn't reach, but the Lord showed me different. He will treat us the same way. He will interact with us just as he did with Moses and all those worthies of faith. So he made known his ways unto Moses. He'll make known his ways unto me too. And we have that wonderful privilege. It is a tremendous benefit that we have in our lives. And then his acts, of course, unto the children of Israel. We have seen again and again that Israel is at the very heart of all God's dealings with his people. And that's not going to change. And so we can rest assured the same thing, that God indeed will make known his acts unto us also. Notice another in verse 8, the Lord is merciful. And we do come to discover the mercy of the Lord. It's not because of our goodness. It is not because we have done something that really needs to be rewarded and God owes us, because you can never get indebted to God. In other words, that is, have God indebted to us. He doesn't owe us anything whatsoever and never will. And so we find that he indeed is simply merciful unto us. He is gracious unto us. That means he shows divine grace. Now, sometimes people think they understand the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. But there are so many depths to divine grace, it is just marvelous. And I think that we shall spend the rest of our lives actually learning the depths of divine grace, because they are there and you just cannot plumb them. But it is good to know this, a great benefit that God has given unto us. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. If he were quick to anger, then probably many would be destroyed, because there are things that God hates and that he will pour out his wrath. Eventually, we find he is going to pour his wrath out on the ungodliness of men in this world who continue to rebel against him. But here we read one of the benefits to all of us: he's slow to anger. And again, he's plenteous in mercy. And that takes the place of his anger, so to speak. So he has plenty of mercy to pour out. Now, mercy and grace are sometimes used interchangeably, but mercy is especially used in the case of wrongdoing. And so whenever there is wrongdoing, then God is merciful rather than bringing down the iron hammer of judgment, so to speak. Verse 9, he will not always chide. That is, he's not going to be arguing against someone. And so he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And so he's not going to hold grudges against us. Verse 10 is another wonderful benefit. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Good thing he didn't, because we would be destroyed. The soul that sinneth shall die. And of course, we know that God's grace went far beyond that, and he did not and could not and will not abide sin. God cannot do that. His own righteous government would be in jeopardy if he did. So he punished sin in the person of Jesus Christ there on the cross of Calvary. That's why that he's not dealt with us after our sins. He did not punish us for our sins. Fact is, he punished Jesus for our sins. So he's not dealt. This is a great benefit for us. So he's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. The reason being, once again, that would mean death. And so this hasn't happened. Verse 11, for as the heaven is higher than the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now, it is hard for us to imagine or to visualize as the heaven is high above the earth. We really don't know how high that is. We've been having these lessons on Wednesday evening concerning heaven. There is the heaven that we look out. We see the stars and the moon and all of this. That's the first heaven. Then there is the second heaven. There has to be a second heaven because there's a third heaven. And so we're confident, as we brought out in those lessons, that that second heaven is the abode or is the dwelling place of Satan right now. He's not in hell, as some people try to say. No, he's still the prince and power of the air. And so the second heaven is undoubtedly abode of Satan right now. And then, of course, there is the third heaven, and who knows how high that is. So we really don't know how to measure that. But if we did, it would be this: his mercy, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Can we even begin to comprehend the mercy that God has ready for those? And this one is them that fear him. Again, it is not them that are afraid of him. It is them that reverence him, those that are in subjection. They have the fear of respect and reverence before him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. I love this, but there are some people that don't understand it, or at least they don't lay hold of it. Because I know people, I've heard people that are still complaining, suffering, even feeling guilty of sins that they committed years and years and years ago. That's a lost cause. It's not going to accomplish anything. Those sins have already been taken care of, and Scripture says here, as far as the east is from the west. Now, how in the world do you measure is how as far as the east is from the west? There's no way to do it. And that's what God intended. He does not intend for us to search out past transgressions. Once they have been confessed and laid on Jesus, that's it. And this is a great benefit unto us. And so as far as the east is from the west, he removed our transgressions from us. Again, he did not excuse them. He punished them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 is another great benefit. Like as the father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So the very pity and compassion of the Lord rests upon us today, if we can just enjoy it. He knows, in verse 14, he knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. He knows exactly who we are, what we are, which is absolutely nothing, but he still wants to have this fellowship and interaction with us. In verse 15, man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. But you'll notice the wind passes over it, and it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. And we know how true that is. And the older some of us get, the more we understand that it is over and gone. That is it. And it seems like it lasted for just a very short time. Verse 17 is the contrast and the benefit. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Even though our natural bodies fade, even though they are weak, even though they are frail, yet the mercy of God still continues to be for us. For his mercy of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting upon them again that fear him, those that reverence him, those that are subject unto him. Verse 18, to keep to such as keep his covenant, and to them that remember his commandments to them. Do you know how to keep the covenant of God? Just simply obey what he says. That's all. Just obey what God says. just obey the word of God. That is it. And then this last one is it really is a tremendous one when we understand what it says. It is a great benefit. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now that is a tremendous benefit. Why? Because this tells us of the time when Jesus is going to take his throne in heaven. He is given universal dominion, and he rules first over Israel. He is going to make them the head of the nations. And then, as we read in other parts of the scripture, when that happens, then Israel is going to be such a great blessing unto all the rest of the nations. And so what a great benefit in this statement when we understand it. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. It is his dominion that God will give to him after tribulation period is over, and he reigns for 1,000 years again with Israel as the head of all of these nations. Let's go to one more psalm along this line. Psalm 116. Skip down to verse 12 to begin with. Psalm 116 and verse 12. Here David says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" This is where that we must understand personal benefits. These are things that David had experienced. And once again, this is not just an idle or a general statement. David actually has already listed a number of benefits that belong to him personally. Back up to verse 1. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice." That's a benefit. He's listened to me. He has heard my voice. David cried out, and the Lord heard my voice. He heard my supplications. Again, you can number these if you like, but I'm just pointing them out. I didn't number them. Verse 2, "He inclined his ear unto me." And because of that, here's a great benefit. "I will call upon him as long as I live." David knew that this thing wasn't going to last a day or two, or just for one particular time, one particular need, one particular moment. No. It's a benefit that I can call, and again I say this is a personal thing that David had here. It's a benefit that I will call upon him as long as I live. And most of us are finding out that is daily, sometimes two and three and maybe many more times. Notice further, "The sorrows of death compassed me." And Paul mentioned being under the sentence of death. We've also indicated how that Satan absolutely would take our lives if he were allowed to do so. But notice this, "The sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell." That little word "gat" simply means found. The pains of hell found me. And I found trouble and sorrow. However, verse 4, notice the benefit. "Then called I upon the name of the Lord." When you get into such a place as that, where Satan is threatening our very lives, "I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." Another benefit, verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord." David had already found that out. That's why he said that "I'm just rejoicing and praising God for all his benefits." These are the benefits that he's talking about here that he's already experienced. So gracious is the Lord. He's righteous. He's merciful. Verse 6, "He preserves the simple." And are we willing to take that place of the simple just to enjoy the wonders of God's preservation? "I was brought low, and he helped me." And many of us have experienced that at various times in our own lives. This is something where it can be applied directly to Christ, as we very well know from this psalm. But it can also, and it must be, taken personally in our own experience. Verse 7, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with these. Here, David, I love this, the way he does. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. David is talking to himself. He's talking to his own inner being, so to speak. And he says, you return unto rest, soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And that is a tremendous benefit. Again, a bountiful blessing from the Lord. Verse 8, you've delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. All of that. Verse 9, I will walk before thee, Lord, in the land of the living. That means that there is life after this life. There is a wonder to look forward to after this life is over. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 10, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And so then he comes to this, what shall I render for all of these benefits, all of these that we've just listed? And then he begins to list a few more after this. Verse 13, I'll take the cup of salvation. And that is indeed God's delivered salvation for us. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Again, a benefit to us that we can call upon the Lord. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I have used this numerous times at funerals in order to bring comfort to people, because God looks upon death far differently than what we do. Men look at it as just an absolute end, but God looks at it simply as a sleep and then to be awaked, and that is exactly what has happened, awaking in glory. I was so encouraged just a while back, and in fact numerous times I've thought about it over the years, of my dad. He was 90 years old when the Lord took him home. He said that he never expected or thought that he would ever get to be 90 years old, but he did. But the day came whenever he died. And I've appreciated my sister's description so often, because she, as the dutiful daughter, she went in and she put him to bed, pulled up the covers and laid him there in order to simply go to sleep. She came back the next morning, and she said there was not a thing disturbed, not a thing moved. There was no evidence that he had moved one finger at all. And she concluded that he was actually gone before she even hit the back door the night before. He just went to sleep and he woke up in glory. And what a wonderful thought for us to realize. And this is the beauty of what God indeed can do. And this is again where we can really see this here in verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so my dad just went to sleep. That was it. And no struggle, no dread, nothing amiss. Just went to sleep, and of course, we know, according to the scripture, he did indeed wake up in glory. Verse 16, let's notice one more benefit here. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid, as the son of my handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. And so we can really say with David, I think we can all say exactly the same thing, wonder the same thing. Verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And then just begin to think on those benefits, because they are already things that had already happened to David, and we can surely think of all the benefits that have happened to us. Shall we sing?